Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today we come to the fourth element found in Colossians 2, 18 and 19 about false teachers and what it is that we need to know in regard to them. Paul talks about the danger of false teachers. He talks about examples of false doctrine. He tells us about the fundamental error of false teachers. And now finally, in the last part of verse 19, the dynamic of healthy Christianity. In other words, what it is that we must be occupied with if we are going to avoid the errors of the false teachers. And so it's not enough to be aware of what they teach that's wrong, but we need to have the proper biblical dynamic, the life-giving force within our souls and within our churches in order for our churches to be healthy, because healthy churches, spiritually healthy churches, are not likely to be sidetracked into heresy, but stagnant or misinformed and poorly taught churches are susceptible to being swept into error, serious heresy, without even realizing it. In fact, if they realized it, they wouldn't do it. Whenever anybody's swept into heresy, they have become convinced that the heresy is in fact the truth. You know that if you talk to somebody like that. How many times over the years I've sat down with someone who belongs to one of the so-called Christian cults, and I have tried my best to show that person their errors from the Bible. This is what you tell me you believe, but it's contrary to the Bible. And I have very seldom been successful in that endeavor. These people are convinced, they are convinced that what they believe, which is clearly serious error to anybody who knows their Bible, but they are convinced that what I know is serious error, they are convinced that's the truth. They believe I'm in error. They believe they have the truth. And nobody goes into heresy saying, I'm planning to deviate from biblical Christianity. I'm planning to go into heresy. I'm heading for apostasy. That's what I'm intending to do. No, nobody does that I know of, not consciously, not intentionally. They are deceived into thinking that the error, which now appeals to them for a variety of reasons, some of which have to do with their own sinful nature. In fact, I would say all of the reasons eventually come back to that in some way. But they are convinced that error is truth and truth is error, and only the Spirit of God can teach them otherwise. And thankfully, the Spirit of God can. And thankfully, He uses the Word of God to do it. And thankfully, He uses Christians like you and me to present truth to them and to help them see the error of their ways. But what I'm saying is, unless you can show them truth from now until the cows come home, but unless the Spirit of God drives that truth home to their hearts and shows them that what they are believing is error, they will be convinced that they are right and you are wrong. They have the truth and you have the error. So how do we fortify ourselves against that? And that's what we're coming to on this Tuesday, August 9. Thank you for joining us, and thank you so much for your financial gifts, which are so necessary to keep this program on the air. Colossians 2, 18 and 19, let no one cheat you of your reward, is the way Paul starts this section. the danger of false teachers. If you listen to them and follow them, you're going to lose your reward. I won't go back to explaining that further. And then he says, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And here Paul gives us four marks of false teachers, four examples of false doctrine. You remember? Extra-biblical rules of conduct, extra-biblical elements of worship, extra-biblical sources of knowledge, and an exaggerated sense of self-importance. And then verse 19, and not holding fast to the head. There's the fundamental error of false teachers. They're not holding fast to Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he did. That's the center of it all. Everything else grows out of that. When it comes to the Christian religion, Christ's person and work is the hub, and everything else is a spoke. But if you hold fast to the truth about the head, then you will not be misled. But if you let that go, no telling where you'll wind up. But then finally, we come to the dynamic of healthy Christianity in the last part of verse 19. Here it is. All the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. From whom, speaking of the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Paul uses the analogy of the human body to help explain what healthy Christianity is like. And in the human body, the head is the center and source of life and health. Every body part functions properly. As long as it maintains a healthy connection to the head, every part requires a healthy connection to adjoining body parts in order to maintain a healthy connection to the head. Did you catch what I said there? Let me go back through it again. The head is the center and source of life and health. You say, oh, the most important part of the body is the heart. Well, you've got to have your heart. You can't do without it. Some body parts you can do without. You could lose a finger or a toe or other body parts and continue to live a long life after that. You would be somewhat hindered in certain respects, but you would certainly be alive and well for a long time to come, minus that body part. Without your heart, or in our time, you can actually transplant somebody else's heart, or even, I think they're even beginning to experiment with artificial hearts. I know they put artificial parts of hearts in people now. But you've got to have a functioning heart of one kind or another, or you're not going to survive. You know that. But that doesn't make the heart the most important part. The heart only beats, the heart only functions when it has a proper connection to the head. Did you know that? That's right. The nerve impulses that come from the brain are what tell the heart to beat. Now, it doesn't take conscious signals. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think and say, heart, beat. And if you don't think about it, it's not going to beat. No, it works automatically, but it's still coming from the head. The head is the center and source of life and health in the human body. And every body part functions properly so long as it maintains a healthy connection to the head. And there's more, however. Every part requires a healthy connection to adjoining body parts in order to maintain a healthy connection to the head. My finger has got to be properly connected to the head. It's got to be properly connected to a lot of things, but it's got to be properly connected to the head if it's going to work properly. There are nerve impulses that are necessary to send signals to the muscles so that my fingers will work the way they're supposed to work. It's got to be properly connected to the head. If something happens to the nerves between my head and my finger, then my finger is in trouble. It may just become paralyzed. We've all known people like that who have parts of their body that don't function. They're paralyzed. Why? Because of damaged nerves that cannot be repaired. Or sometimes those damaged nerves result in a great deal of pain. Sometimes we'd almost rather that the part just were dead and didn't function than to have all this pain. But again, it's because there isn't that healthy connection between the head and that body part. There's something along the trajectory of the nerves that is not healthy, and you've got a problem. But not only must each body part be connected to the head, but it's got to be properly joined to other body parts in order to maintain a healthy connection to the head. My finger isn't in isolation. It must be properly connected to the head, but it can only be properly connected to the head if it's properly connected to the hand. And the hand is properly connected to the arm. And the arm is properly connected to the shoulder. You get the idea? All of this is so obvious when it comes to the human body or any other body, but we'll stick with the human body because that's what Paul is talking about here. And he uses that as an analogy of spiritual truth. He applies it to the body of Christ. Again, back to verse 19. Holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, he's still using that body language, grows with the increase that is from God. No one is exempt from the principle that makes growth of the members of the body of Christ supremely dependent upon Christ. My spiritual health depends upon my being properly connected to Christ, supremely dependent upon Him. Fullness of Christian experience depends upon Christ and Christ alone. There's no other source for increased knowledge. It must come from a proper connection to the head. There's no other source for true spiritual joy that only comes from a proper connection to the head. There's no other way to have full satisfaction in life that only comes from a proper connection to the head, namely Christ. There's no other way to have spiritual power in my life except to have a proper, healthy connection to the head, which is Christ. And that's not only true of each individual Christian, each individual body part, but church growth depends upon the spiritual power which flows from the head to all of the members as they are properly connected to Christ and properly related to one another. And we talk a lot in our evangelical world today, fundamental evangelical world today, about church growth. That's a pretty hot topic. And as I think I said earlier, all of us should be interested in that topic. We should be concerned about how to see our churches grow, but we can't make just the idea of growth the supreme goal. It has to be healthy growth, healthy Christianity. There is such a thing as unhealthy growth. And then there's such a thing as healthy growth. And we need to have healthy growth. And that's what Paul is explaining here, the dynamic of healthy Christianity. And we'll need to talk a little bit more about it, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.